Hi everyone, it's Allison here. Welcome to your sixth, I can't believe we're at number six already, session for our mentorship experience. So you've probably already seen the handout and you know where we're headed. But first I want to answer a couple of questions that I got. Excuse me. And I'm loving the questions, so do feel free to keep them coming. Pardon my scratchy voice, I am just getting over a cold, so you're going to hear me coughing and sneezing a little bit and hydrating an awful lot during this call. Okay, so the first of the two questions is tips on how to take charge of client sessions and rein in oversharing. I'm 100% behind clients unloading, venting, sharing what they want to, and as a practitioner, being the sounding board. But every once in a while, I get super chatty clients who eat into their session times a fair bit. And although I agree that talking is healing, I also believe that the body talking does wonders for their healing, and I just want to give them as much of that magic as possible. So, totally on board with that. And yes, talking to a certain extent, venting, helpful. However, it's not always very helpful to just go into the same old story. As we know, body talk is all about unhooking people from stories. So what I recommend, and I really strongly recommend this, because otherwise, if they just take up the whole time with talking, then you don't have any time to do body talk. And or you end up overextending your session time by quite a bit. And they end up taking the lead. And that's not a great working dynamic. If now they're running the show, that just means that the likelihood of their session getting to the extent that it needs to or could do isn't, I find in my experience, going to work as well. So important to not let the chattiness lead the way, so to speak. So what I recommend in those situations is, and although this is a perhaps using their own belief systems against them because it's a bit of a money trigger. Usually what works well for people though is to say something along the lines of, hey, this isn't really what I do. What I work well with and what you're going to get the best results from me is up on the table. So if you have anything else that you need to say, if you could really concisely sum it up in two or three sentences so that we can get right to the point and right to the heart and maximize the focus of the session for you to help you get the best bang for your buck, that would be fantastic. You are welcome to keep talking, but then it's going to run into another hour of my time, and then at that point, my rates double. And usually that's enough to get them to go, oh, okay, I'm not focusing, I'm not doing myself the best service, and it's going to cost me a whole lot more to just sit here and continue to wallow in this story, which isn't necessarily all that helpful. Not that talk therapy can't be helpful, it just typically isn't. It's also not, for the majority of the part, what practitioners of body talk are trained in. There might be a couple of people who have also trained in that, but for the most part, we haven't. So the recommendation is really just stay away from it, and as soon as you can, take the lead of that conversation, get in there, and redirect them to focus. How can you sum this up in one sentence, in one word, in three words or less? Getting them to be concise and getting to the heart of it will also help them to focus on what they are really trying to say. Usually the chattiness is just a defense mechanism of the feminine. And the feminine loves to go into like the, I call it like the mode. And they're chatting and chatting and chatting and chatting. And in traditional olden times, it was used to actually scare away small critters that could surprise with an attack and end up causing harm or issues with people. Or to that person, because they didn't keep the critter away. Even a small scratch can lead to an infection that in those days could have been deadly. Okay? All right, so that's really where that's coming from. So even just having the awareness and observing it for what it is and going, okay, this is really not them talking. It's just their fear talking and they won't shut up and I really need to get to the session. So I need to do them a kindness. I need to interrupt this fear head on and then carry on with the work that you do very well. And that's also a really good note to take away, that they are coming from a place of tremendous fear when they're in that mode. So you mirroring calmness in your body language will also be helpful. So that looks like slow, deep breaths. If I was working with an anxious dog client, I would use slow blinks, having like a really long, slow blink. I would lick. That's hard to explain over audio recording, but it looks like just like a really slow, rhythmic, almost like licking of the top of your mouth, like you see dogs and cats do. And taking those principles into the human clientele, that looks like slowing down every single action. Rather than mirroring their anxiety and their like tendency to go fast and you thinking, oh my God, I don't have any time for this, we're out of time, or panicking, your next client is already here and they haven't even started their session, etc. What that looks like then is to really get into your own body and really finding slowness and stillness in your manner of speaking, in how it is you're moving your body, in every single action, from how it is you're blinking and how it is you're breathing, to slow that right down and to get them anchored into their bodies. Just one other trick to help anchor that. Okay, so those are typically some really easy things to address, and those are what I've found really helpful in my own practice. So give those a go and let me know how you get on. And who knows, now that you have that information, you might not even need to use it anymore. That's sometimes how life goes. Okay, all right. And then the second question, number two, is, could you share on your process in developing e-courses and other online content, both in development and distribution? Getting the word out there. So marketing, promoting. So development. My development for all my workshops has come from, I would say, a couple of sources. One, it's all the principles underlying the work behind Free Fall, from everything to do with intimacy, vulnerability. It was my very first way of working with the online material. Was actually just for Free Fallers. I did a 40-day challenge, and that inspiration came from a yoga experience where we did a 40-day challenge. We did, I think it was like a daily practice for 40 days, and there was other things that we had to do, a certain amount of like yoga practice or breathing or whatever it was for those 40 days. And at the end of that yoga experience, I went to a class, and that class had this piece of music that was playing by the artist's name is Bhagavan Das. And the album was The Golden Voice. And Bhagavan Das was playing. And I remember literally just sitting in before class started, and there was all this sobbing that overcame me. And we hadn't even started yoga class. And it was something like 5:45 in the morning. It was an early morning practice. And there I was sobbing away to Bhagavan Das. And in that moment, I made my decision to go ahead and proceed with becoming a yoga instructor. So then began my yoga teacher training journey from that moment. So that was the profound experience that I had, and the value of doing a 40-day experience, transformation challenge, 40 days of fill in the blank, whatever you want to call it, whatever word resonates for you. And that's why I picked the 40 days when I first began this work. And the majority of my offerings actually were consistent with doing a 40-day this or a 40-day that. And the first time around was literally just for Free Fallers. And then I realized that all of this work needed to go out in the same way to people who maybe weren't ready, per se, to dive into Free Fall head first, and to introducing them into the principles behind all the work. breath, movement, sound. These are some of the most powerful tools around. Now, don't get me wrong, I think that the most juiced up, yummy, delicious version of that is still in the context of free fall ones, twos. However, until people are quite ready for that, they can get a more diluted form. It seems to be diluted for most people in my experience. That may just be a limiting set of beliefs, but that's just been the experience thus far. So that was really where the big set of development of ideas came from. And then as this journey continued to unfold for me, that started so many years ago now. It was like, I think, 10 or 11, 12 years ago. And it was right around the time that I got Buddy, my first dog. Now, the inspiration really for everything in development has always come to me on dog walks. So that's my time in nature, that's my Zen time. And that's just usually when either the idea will just spontaneously appear, or I'll just feel whatever sort of like congestion of ideas that I don't even have a left brain perception of. They just somehow seem to amalgamate and become more clear. They become more crystallized, and while more crystal clear, to allow for that awareness of what it is the next piece is that we're doing, that I'm offering. The big, big, big piece I have on that is to ensure that you've worked through whatever it is you're trying to anchor people through to a certain degree. You're still human. You're still going to have layers. We always do. I continue to receive the benefit every time I offer one of these online courses, in-person workshops, regardless. Always happens. Whether it's this call, a body talk session, a breakthrough session, there is always the unfolding that continues to occur of healing for self in the role of facilitator. Having said that, though, if, for example, you literally just got sexually molested, raped, abused, and then the next week you're ready to offer a seminar in helping other people heal their abuse, that's not a good sign. You haven't worked through it. You haven't processed what you need to process to anchor other people through that. So if you can feel like you can confidently anchor somebody through all the things that you've been processing in your own lives, then by all means, you are ready to dive in and to do that. The other big takeaway I have is there's the fine line between being vulnerable and being open without wearing your heart on your sleeve. So the second you wear your heart on your sleeve, it goes into... Now you're sharing, and this is going to sound funny. It's good to share the personal things. It's not good to share the personal things that you haven't processed. It doesn't anchor people effectively. And I would akin that to spiritual abuse. Okay? And I don't use that term lightly. It's a powerful term. If you haven't done the work, you're not ready to anchor somebody else through it. And I know this from personal experience of having fucked this up in a pretty profound way. Forgive me if I've told this story before. So this story is actually when I was going through breakthrough instructor training. And the person that I was leading a breakthrough for in one of my... I was doing like a group night where everybody got a breakthrough and I was just practicing my breakthrough skills. And then I was transcribing a set of steps to send to Esther, who is training me. And I went ahead and I led this breakthrough for this nice man who basically had the exact same life story I had unfold 3 weeks prior, which I hadn't fully processed or dealt with yet. It was about my husband. Were we married? No, this is the first affair. We weren't married. Okay. So my partner, not then husband, having had an affair. And I had just found out about it a few weeks prior and was still trying to figure out what the fuck it is we were going to do about this, if anything at all. And Honestly, it was almost word for word, except for gender reversal, the exact way that he found out, the exact circumstances, everything. It couldn't have been a closer mirror. And I'm in the middle of anchoring this breakthrough when the client, cannot acknowledge that he's had an overreaction, which is step one. And if they can't do that, then the thinking is don't proceed with the rest of the breakthrough. It just doesn't work. So you have to find something new. So the second he was like, no, I can't acknowledge that, which happens sometimes, I said, okay, great, let's pick another story. And really, I ran away from it. I ran away from offering him the opportunity to see his role and how he was overreacting in this story, just by simply not taking a minute or two to explain, this is what we mean by an overreaction. Can you see it in this context of that's what we refer to as an overreaction and breakthrough? He gave me an out, and I dove for that out because I was not ready to go there. I hadn't done the work myself. So this is the set of steps that I chose to transcribe for Esther because I wanted to work my weaknesses. And clearly something went awry here. I didn't know exactly what it was. And she nailed me hard on that. Basically, when you sit down to offer a session or a workshop online, in person, doesn't matter, any sort of healing opportunity to somebody, it's like you're a lifeguard sending them a flotation device to save a drowning person. And then it was like when I saw that opening and I saw a way out, I was like, nope. And I yanked the flotation device back. So he had to continue to drown in that particular story because I hadn't done the work on my part really well. Now, whether or not you completely run away from it or whether you anchor it in a way that's not quite as thorough as what's really capable or required, then know that it's one and the same thing. It's still not fully pulling the drowning person out of the water. I like that imagery that she used for me because I used to be a lifeguard. So when she said that, I was totally horrified. And I was like, oh my God, I can totally see that. I can totally see where I did that. Shit, fuck. And I think there was a solid crying session that happened for at least an hour, off and on. And I dealt with that, worked through it, and then saw the other side of how beautiful that was, that I could so solidly find my ground and my feet as a facilitator to know, okay, this is what it means to anchor. This is what it means to healthily compartmentalize and be able to offer something that I worked through. And if I have my own personal shit come up in it, then I can deal with that. It doesn't have to be in the moment. I can wait until after that workshop is done, until there is a brief pause, until there is an opportunity to look at myself. And that always happens. You can't leave this work without doing it. So there isn't an option to not look at self. Okay. Let's see. So primarily based on free fall principles, and then primarily inspired by my dog walks. And then the 40 days has somewhat evolved. So I have offered a couple of other formats. I did, because not everybody wanted to invest 40 days of exercises, and quite frankly, it was a lot of work. So I also offered some sort of like mini versions of receiving group sessions and different topics, and it was usually for a series of 4 to 7 sessions. Depending upon the topic, the chakra one, 7 chakras, 7 sessions, just lent itself nicely to that. And then most recently, I've been playing with offering energetic cleanses, which have been really kick ass. The fantastic results that people are getting is out of this world. And it's 3 sessions within a week. And the suggestion is to listen to each session more than once. And if they space it out for more than a week, or however they time these things is fine, or however they're designed and how they get implemented and executed on the person's part, it might take them a year to make it through 240 days, and that's perfect, however it unfolds. So the development part, I would say, and I think this goes to every one who's ever been in the creative flow, is that it was something that more came through me. It's not something that I ever had to sit down and really think about, okay, what am I going to do? How am I going to make this happen? The inspiration came and it found me and it moved through me and out of me. So it's never really been mine. It never really was. It's different beyond really words. Okay, so I hope that gives a little bit of insight. If you want more on that or have more specific questions, feel free to ask. The distribution, getting the word out there, social media again is king for this. It's free, and as long as you're devoted to building up your accounts, then that just means regular posting, then you're going to continue to build up that regular following. There's a whole lot more people that see it than necessarily comment or like on it, so know that. People just get scroll happy and they don't pause to always like things. So don't always base it on, oh, this got that many likes or somebody commented on this. They still hold value. It's just a matter about being consistent about having a representation of your work on social media. And then the next best thing, well, not next best thing, but next almost free thing is website. Gotta have it. It's basically almost free. Hosting domain names are so cheap these days. Really easy to implement and really easy to do. So my recommendation is to definitely have an e-presence if you want to offer online marketing. That's key. And then if you haven't been saving your contacts from your clients, then start saving up those email addresses. And you have to work with the anti-spam laws in your area, so they have to be aware that they're getting emails from you, because there's usually, well, I don't know everywhere, but in Canada there's an anti-spam law. Take $1 million, something like that, if you are consistently sending somebody spam that they don't want to receive. Okay? So you have to have an unsubscribe button, etc. So check out the laws in your area of the world for that sort of distribution method. The one that I am working on right now, although it probably won't come out for several months, is webinars. And having basically a webinar that will, it's not a live webinar, it's a pre-recorded webinar that they will get funneled into. So the industry terms for online stuff are things like having directing traffic through funnels, through an evergreen campaign or Infusionsoft kind of stuff. So there's lots of information out there galore on how to set up that. But basically the idea is you have an hour-long webinar or so, you offer something for free or of value on the webinar, and then that in turn directs them into set up a link or a process where they have to apply to be able to work with you, and then go into the sales part of it, if you will. So the design of that has a lot of flexibility. And then you can just literally set up your webinar to run every hour on the hour. You can set it up so that people have to sign up to come to your webinar. So again, you're collecting names and email addresses every step of the way to build up that contact list. And it often takes like 3 to 7 times for people to see things before they even remotely begin to explore it or act on it. So it's also about consistency and persistence and really staying the course. So that's my 2 cents on distribution. If you need or want more on that, let me know. Or if you want any other pieces on the e-courses or online content, do let me know. Always happy to talk about that and work in that way. It's been like the third leg of my three-legged business. So I always say I do like three major components of my business. I do in-person sessions, I do in-person seminars, and then I do online workshops. So that third one, that online workshop piece, keeps me accessible around the world, and it helps to also maximize my efficacy in a number of ways, because there's more observation going on, and it means more people are tuning in to check out what's happening, because it's easier to do so often from the comfort of their own home. And with more observation comes better results. Period. It just has always been that way. It's like a natural law of this universe, it feels. Could be wrong on that. All right, my love. So that's that piece. And now we're going to dive into the noble healing piece, which is so much fun. But again, I have that sort of twisted sense of fun. This is like one of those things that other people might say, oh my gosh, okay, well, you got to do your work, but it's worth it in the end. And to me, it's like, yes, this is so much fun. Let's do this all day long. This is fantastic. So know that I have a quirky sense of fun. And basically, noble healing comes from Alison A. Armstrong. And if you have studied anything with me, you've heard me talk about her, her website, understandmen.com. I have permission to go through the noble healing piece. She uses it a lot in some other pieces of her work. I do have permission to be able to use the noble healing piece with you all and to offer it online or in person in this way. So let me start with the overview. Then I'm going to go through the instructions for it all, for the whole process. So I'll left brain it all. And then we're going to go through and I'll do a demo. We have Sylvie on the call who has already agreed to be a demo for us, so I'm super excited about that. So let's begin with the overview. So, like all of Alison Armstrong's work, it's coming from a place of partnership. Noble healing is a partnership and it's designed to help to create relief, to look at the different pains, conflicts, issues that people are having to create relief to the point where this could completely even disappear. Now, I need to warn you in advance that this might fly in the face of some of the underlying philosophies of things that you have taken, and even some of the things that I have taught over the years. So know that it still somehow works. And it works kind of like the Sedona method. You're like, how the fuck could this even work? And yet it does. So try to let the left brain take a big backseat here. If we're going, well, that's not right. That's not going to work. You can't do it this way because of that, 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 and that. And here's where I see all the potential problems. And really just immerse yourself into the experience of this for what it is. Try it on. See where it works for you, see where it doesn't, and then go from there. Okay. Because somehow this just works. And it may be one of those things where we just don't know what we don't know. And the left brain, bless it. It has, this beautiful safety mechanism thing that's built in to try to keep us focused and aware and present and safe and all these things. And yet sometimes it can throw up unnecessary roadblocks. Okay. So here we're working with all the different pain, whether it's mental, physical, emotional, around the perception that the client has been hurt, been disrespected, been dishonored by someone who's not currently present. Okay. So it's going to honor the clients, the receiver is what we're going to call them, the receiver's experience, with no other side of the story. So we're not going to look at, there's always three sides to every story, your side, their side, and the truth. We're really just coming to it, and this is, I think, part of why it works so well, because it's meeting them exactly where they're at, in their place of victimhood and wallowing. And anytime we have an overreaction, and you can think of that as anything that's personal, that you're having lots of emotions and thoughts about, know that that means that basically like 99.9% of all of our thoughts and awarenesses are probably in overreaction mode, because they're usually personal and there's thoughts and emotions about them, that there is a overreaction occurring. Okay, so we're going to honor the overreaction here. So this particular method of healing accounts for feeling, being injured, having that overreaction, and that can happen in like a shocking circumstance where the receiver was taken by surprise, at least for the moment, and they have perceived themselves as being the victim. Okay. So what can you do this on? You can do this on anything that you can remember. So if there is a memory that has a wound to it, however small or big, Noble Healing has been proven pretty darn effective. So whether it's new or old, significant, seemingly, you know, little or petty, don't worry about having the right injury or the best injury. Because people always want to do things perfectly, to the ideal standard. Yeah? So it's really not about having the right injury or the best injury. And as we know from the work that we do with Body Talk, injuries travel in clumps, in herds. So when you address one at the center of it, you're actually addressing all of it around that all. Okay, so if you can remember it, it's worth healing. That's the big takeaway here. So you can start anywhere. The receiver is going to provide the words that simply describe who it was that hurt them. Remember, we're honoring the story of the victim, or that's our starting point. Okay. In what way and how or by, without details or explanation. So words that fit the time of the injury, considering the age and the point of view. So for example, Shane really hurt me when he didn't respond back to my text about paying for the dog's vet bill, is an example. Okay. Then the provider is generously providing compassion. Let's talk about that word. Compassion means to be with. Come is with. Passion translates in Latin to be suffering. So compassion literally translates to be with the suffering. So this isn't about going, oh my gosh, that's awful, or oh, you poor thing, or handing them a tissue, because then you're preventing yourself from truly observing, from providing compassion. That's what observation is. Okay? And it's the only thing required for healing, really. So the provider is coming from a place of generously providing compassion while recreating the words that the receiver stated. So, for example, I'm sorry that Shane hurt your feelings when he just didn't respond to that text about the dogs and paying the vet bill. For example, so the receiver's challenge is to receive the compassion. If the receiver needs to hear those words repeated or modified or emphasized differently, they can ask for that. Okay. The challenge is to receive it. So anything is possible to be healed. You just got to be willing. There has to be a willingness. So if you're just half in, doesn't fucking work. Like everything in life. It doesn't work if we half-ass it. If you want it more than a drowning man wants air, and I know I'm repeating myself with this one, then you got a willingness. You got a willingness to come step up to the plate and play here. All right. So now, next point. From time to time, the progress of Noble Healing is measured on a scale of 0 to 10 in the initial intensity of where we started, whether that was mentally, physically, or emotionally. The pain is always represented by a 10. So when you're first telling the story, we refer to that as the 10. And then after that, You can check in once in a while. Where's that at right now for you? And they might say, ah, it's down to a four. Okay, and you might have to continue the process here. The provider may offer an intuition or a suggestion of words. So, for example, if the receiver is not having the progress they desire, you can switch up the wording. There's nothing to prove. You don't have to like try to effort in this, but if there's just something that comes to you like, I'm so sorry that Shane hurt you and disrespected you. I'm so sorry. One second. UPS never fails to, pardon me. UPS never fails to show up when I'm doing these things. Okay, so luckily Dave's home and he can deal with that. Okay. All right, so for example, I'm so sorry that Shane hurt you and disrespected you and ignored you and abandoned you and did not respond back to that text about the dog's vet bill. So they can switch up the words a little bit. It doesn't have to be word for word. Then the receiver is going to indicate when they've received as much compassion as they are willing or able to at this time. And the acknowledgement for that is always appropriate. For the courage, the appreciation for generosity. Okay, so that's like the quick overview. Let's go through it in a bit more detail. So step one, the receiver is going to create a simple sentence. And typically and preferably in the order of who injured you, in what way, and how or by. So, for example, and if you're familiar with breakthrough, you can think of all those trigger phrases that we would insert here. So, Dave disregarded me when he didn't tell me that the dogs were only going for a 1 hour walk. Or disregarded me when he only walked the dogs for 1 hour. Okay. Whatever the wording is that they use. The example here is my ex-wife betrayed me when she turned my children against me. So you could do it with a little thing or a big thing, but it's a simple sentence, and as you notice, it's pretty vague. So we're not getting into, well, she sent this email and then she slash the tires on my car, and we're not getting into the whole story. We're keeping it simple, we're keeping it focused because that's where the work is. Okay. All right, so that's step one. It has to be a simple sentence, preferably in the order of who, and then what, and how or by. Okay, number two, the provider, the practitioner, if you prefer. Then can ask the words to be repeated or feel free to write it down to take notes to just to confirm that you've got the wording correct as to what they've said. So it's okay to check in. Nothing wrong with that. The third step, the receiver here takes a deep breath and the provider can ask, are you ready to continue? And then they'll indicate their readiness to receive. It's important to take that pause to give them that moment, to give them that space to actually receive the healing that's about to occur. This is the pause of commitment. This is the pause of, I got this, I'm going to do this. Okay. Then, step four, the provider using the exact words the first time. The receiver said, and matching the tone, the energy, the emotion is going to provide that compassion. I'm so sorry that your ex-wife betrayed you when she turned your children against you. Step five, the receiver is going to take another breath, slow, deep breath, and allow themselves to feel those words and compassion connect with the injury and relieve the pain. They'll nod when they're ready. The provider then can ask, is there anything else about that? So you might have to use different wording. You might have to switch it up a little bit. The receiver can look in the place that they originally experienced the pain and notice what's there. There may be more about that occurrence, something else that person did, or there could be a similar injury from a different person, or there might be something else entirely. You could start off with Dave and the dogs, and it could go into my ex-business partner disregarded me when they just assumed that I wanted things done in a certain way. Okay, so wherever it ends up is perfect. It's a process that's, again, beyond left brain principles. So trust, however, it needs to unfold. Those first seven steps continue to get repeated. Again, it's got to start with the simple sentence. It has to start with a simple sentence. Once in a while, step eight here, it goes on to say, occasionally you can ask, on a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being the original intensity, what is it now? If the answer is more than 0, there's still something that you can continue to explore. And if you're, you know, if you only got like 10 minutes, that's okay. Then just get it down to whatever you can get it down to. And then they can continue to explore it on a later date after that. If you have the time, you're welcome to continue to explore with zeroing it out. And just simply continuing the process of steps 1 through 7. What else about that? If the receiver is having trouble finding those bullseye words, then you can get the practitioner, the provider, to help them out. They can offer suggestions or intuition. And providers, you can ask for permission to say, hey, can I try something here? And then offer the, I'm so sorry, or I'm really sorry that, blah, 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 whatever's come to mind. Just don't force it. Then you're going to continue to repeat the process following that thread until the receiver wants to stop or reaches 0. Again, it can come out orderly, controlled, messy, emotional. It really doesn't much matter. The important piece, the big takeaway point here, is to remember to breathe. And then in between each of the rounds, to continue to consciously receive the gift of healing. So those are the steps. So this is something that Dave and I have both used and continues to be a really easy tool to ask for, to the point now where it's such a short process. I can just simply say, hey, honey, can you say these words? I'm so sorry, blah, blah, blah. And he'll say them and be like, ah, oh, excellent. And the third party healing occurs. So the third person that this is about doesn't even have to be present. I just get the instant relief. I get to move on, and we get to continue on with our day, our lives, our dates, our work, whatever it is we've got on the go. So it's a really generous, quick act, and I am thoroughly blessed with a husband who can access that quick and easily to be present and to be here. So he's a very generous, willing spirit. Love you, Dave. He's here in the room now. All right. Okay. I think it's probably safe to come back out into the land of where my water is and away from the UPS doorbell ringer. I don't think we'll have any more distractions now that we've had the one delivery. And as I'm getting set up here, Sylvie, I'm going to invite you just to settle in for the demo. Are you still willing to be a demo for this particular topic?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, Sylvie. So beginning here by means of breathing, giving yourself some slow, deep inhales and exhales. Okay. When you're ready, love. Creating a simple sentence about the injury at hand, who and what and how. A simple, focused sentence. What comes to mind for you?
I don't know which one is stronger. The strongest one is the permanent criticism. My mother permanently criticizing me and saying really bad things about me to either to me, to friends, to family, whatever. Permanent criticism. There is a lot of yelling as well, but I don't know for the moment which one is stronger.
Okay. Let's start with the criticism word, and then if there's others that need to come up, we can go from there. How does that sound?
Yes, it sounds good because the criticism has been hard and many lines. It's criticism when it's, I feel it's true, it's okay. When it's a lie and I can't recognize myself, which is 99% of her criticism, I have the sense she's talking to someone else or she's talking about someone else, but not me.
So, how would you finish this particular sentence? My mother criticizes me when she.
When she, any time, there is no. When she's frustrated, when she's unhappy, which is her permanent state.
Okay, when she is unhappy. Got it.
Yeah, which is her state. She's not happy, so yeah.
Okay, love, breathing here. When you're ready to receive, let me know.
I am.
I am so sorry. Your mother criticizes you when she is unhappy. Breathe here. Roxy's breathing for you too. I don't know if you can hear the doggy sigh breathing on this end. I'm so very sorry. Your mother criticizes you when she is unhappy. I'm so very sorry that she acts in this unloving way towards you when she is unhappy, when she is alive, when she is existing.
And so it's even better than criticizing. It's unmoving. This is so accurate.
Breathing here. Okay, is there anything else about that?
Yeah, it's the yelling. I freeze when she yells. I am in freeze mode. I can't react. I am.
Okay, got it. When you're ready, let me know.
Yeah. Yeah. This is very strong when she yells at me.
I'm so very sorry that your mother yells at you and you feel unloved and criticized. I'm so very sorry that as a small child you were yelled at, that you had to feel like your body couldn't move, that you were frozen in fear. And I'm really sorry that you had to feel this way from your mom.
And she's still doing it.
Well, breathing here. Receive the words. When you're ready to hear them again, let me know.
Yeah, yes.
Ready to receive?
Yes.
Okay. So hear these words, connect right with the heart of the injury. I am so very sorry you had to spend your time as a child frozen in fear because your mom was yelling all the time. I'm so very sorry that she acted in this unloving way. Breathing here. If we started at a 10, where are we now?
3.
Okay. Anything else about that?
I'm afraid of her reactions. I don't know how to put that in a simple sentence. My mother, is behaving in a hurtful way, but I'm still with fear, even now, as a grown-up woman.
Got it.
I fear, and I would like to get rid of that fear. And of that reject I have when she's like this, of her, which is much smaller, but I still have a little bit of rejection. Not much, but a bit.
Got it. When you're ready to receive, let me know.
I am.
Feel these words meet the injury. I am so very sorry that you had to live your life in fear. I'm so very sorry that you're still, years later, after all that abuse, living your life in fear. I'm really sorry that your mom rejected you and you've had to live in fear. Breathing here.
Now she's very angry at me, and what is coming up is jealous, and anger at me, and jealous and envy, but extreme envy, and envy that I am somehow happy and that she's not, and that is what triggers her most, is my happiness.
When you're ready to receive, let me know.
And as I work more, I am happier and happier, and this is harder and harder on her. Yeah, I am.
Allow these words to meet the injury. I am so very sorry that your mother, felt envious of your happiness. I'm so very sorry that she feels envious of your happiness. I'm really sorry for all the emotions that she hasn't been able to feel. And the emotions that she expresses towards you is anger, to jealousy, to abuse, to to envy, to having the desire to crush any happiness and to try to take it away from you.
Yeah.
I'm so very sorry that that's been your experience.
This is exactly that. It's crushing. And crushing happiness.
Mm-hmm. Really feel the words. I'm so very sorry. Your mom felt like she had to crush you and any ounce of happiness in your life. Breathe here. If 10 was the original intensity and it came down to a 3, where is it now?
2. Okay. Between 1 and 2.
Okay. Anything else about that?
The threat to commit suicide is coming up from her. It's telling me if you say that, or if you are like this, or if I cannot do that, it's not of any use for me to live. I can go. She was always blackmailing with suicide, and she's still doing it.
Okay. Got it.
This is, I feel sadness here rocketing.
Okay. When you're ready to receive, let me know.
Yeah, sadness is like 9. Okay, I'm ready.
I'm so very sorry that your mom tries to control by threatening suicide. I'm so very sorry for the emotional upheaval, the sadness, the abuse, the trauma of having to hear your mom threaten to commit suicide. I'm so very sorry she didn't have the tools to deal with her own emotions. And I'm so very sorry for all the hurt and all the pain and all the suffering that that has created. Breathing here.
Sadness is going to 4, 3, 4, yeah, going down. One, sadness is going down. Okay.
Yeah, cool, hey?
So cool. Wow.
That's the power of noble healing.
Thank you, Addison.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for being a demo for us.
Wow, it's amazing.
I think so too. I know it's such a simple process and it packs one hell of a punch.
It's so powerful, but it's also the space you hold that is powerful.
Yeah, I think there's something to that piece with observation. I don't love the choice of words of holding space. I think of like a hand holding on to something, there's no room to receive anything. So I always think of it as we're receiving space rather than holding space. There's really nothing to do. It's really just hanging out and existing.
Yeah, it's observing, but as you see the word we use in
I
body talk
know.
and word, but I'm saying somebody with an infinite observation, so spread, and that is this infinite space you can hold, so big,
Yeah.
with no, it's just surrounded with a big loving space.
That's what compassion is.
Yeah.
Yeah? It's space and there's love.
Yeah.
So
Love is
beautiful,
big.
love. Thank you for sharing your experience and thank you again for being a really willing demo for us. That was fantastic.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thank you, really.
You're
Wow.
welcome. This is a tool that you can play with using on yourself. So you can definitely walk yourself through this and anchor yourself pretty effectively, I've found in my own work. Having said that, I've also done a lot of work of anchoring myself with Breakthrough Step 3. If you're familiar, is the behavior words. So I would, for instance, in any conflict, I instead of doing cortices or diaphragms and intestines, I would just look at what are the three most heinous, hardest words for me to hear about myself? And I'd be like, okay, unlovable, spineless, powerless. And then I would walk myself through what we do in step three, which is I take full responsibility for my unloving, spineless, powerless behaviors. I'm so very sorry. And I'd walk myself through that, taking responsibility towards the other party, if there was one. Commonly, it was just with myself. And I would constantly do that, like literally on a daily basis, since I was beginning to explore breakthrough at the level of teaching it. So I use that, like people in body talk do cortices. And I got really familiar with the process. So I really like the idea that this process is also very simple, very easy to use and implement. And you can literally play with doing this for yourself. I wouldn't suggest, because you haven't been anchored well in how to lead it or how to teach it, and it would, I think, dilute the work to a certain extent, unless you're already familiar with this and already know all about this, and by all means, go for it. I wouldn't quite set up a practice to do it. If you want to learn how to do noble healing, you can by all means check out Alison Armstrong's work online. She does it in a couple of places, and I believe where she's doing it right now is in a webinar called Extreme Freedom. So that's something to check out on her website if you'd like to learn more about or lead that. And know that I am always happily available to do noble healing. So if you come in for a session and you're like, I really just want to do noble healing, we can by all means play with doing noble healing for, 40 minutes and see where that takes you. We could heal a bunch of different things, or if there's just one really juicy one you want to chew on, send it my way. I love this work. I love this process. I don't offer it yet on my website, as this is what I'm doing for clients. And know that it's really just a word of mouth thing at this point. So if you know that I do it, you can ask for it.
Okay,
Okay?
awesome.
Yeah. All right.
It's awesome, and it's interesting because as I read the steps, and as you were going through the steps, so before we started this meeting and here, I felt it was with that loving space, but it was very, very close to me to break through, but more on the receiver, on the, so to speak, receiver side or victim side, but it's unlocking things like in breakthrough, but with that really felt sense of loving space.
Yeah, it's the same, and yet it's completely different. Somehow all the same time for me, if I'm to compare it to breakthrough.
It's exactly what I feel. It's the same and very different.
Yeah.
This is exactly 100% what I feel. Oh, this is so, yeah.
I know, this process confused me for a long time. I even resisted it. I was like, what the fuck? No, I know how this shit works. I know how transformation and healing works. I don't think so, lady. And then I tried it on, and oh my gosh, I'm so happy that I tried it on. And I flew in the face of some things I thought I knew for sure, because wow, this packs a whopper, and it does it in a completely different way, and yet all this work does exactly the same thing in the end.
it's so true. And here it was absolutely amazing, because when we came to my mother and about her societal ideas that she had always, there has never been one week in my life where I haven't found my mother being depressed or crying or feeling she could be suicidal. Mm-hmm. As far as I can remember as a little girl, and of course, as an adult. And when there was this wave of sadness, and I was so surprised to have this wave of sadness coming up, I wasn't expecting that, like rocketing to a 9. Mm-hmm. It melted in a few seconds down to 4, 3, and 0. It was like in a minute, it was gone. And I was saying, oh my God. And then when I felt I was down to 1 and 0, I said, okay, she wants to commit suicide. That's her issue. That's it. And before, I had that mentally, but I really, in my heart, I wasn't sad anymore about thinking that she could do that. I'm not saying what would happen if she's next week doing it. I cannot say, but it went really from mental to my heart, to that felt sense of feeling okay.
Oh.
So and that was amazing, that feeling to say, okay, my mother is threatening to commit suicide. Okay, well, if she wants to do it, I cannot do anything about it. I'm trying to be my best, but I cannot be other than Sylvie. So that's it.
Excellent. Let's help all that synthesized, whether you were actively participating while Sylvie was in that very direct way, or whether you were doing it in an indirect way and just vicariously observing, because as we know, that's all that's required for healing. So we may have hit on something really big for you in different ways. So let's just help that all process even more by doing a little bit of extra TLC. So we're going to actually run cortices and in parallel by, diaphragm to intestine, center of emotional processing and control, to literally the center of releasing. So we're going to set that up to tap in alongside of switching, coping, dealing with stress. I want to take really good care of anyone listening to it who has perhaps not been quite zeroed out, and know that as we're tapping this out, breathing here, I know that I'm available to continue to unwind any explorations that you'd like to pursue. We're going to tap this all in, give that another slow, deep breath here. All right, my loves. Thank you so very much for the opportunity to work with you all in this way. Love the questions that I'm getting. If you'd like more questions answered, and I hope that you do, because we have two more juicy sessions to spend time together with, do let me know and send them on in, and I will happily address them for you. Our next call is in 2 weeks on November 29th at 6 p.m. Calgary time, I think. Or is it 5 p.m.? Gosh, I have to check the schedule. I will post that on Facebook. All right, my loves, I'm going to sign off for now and wish you a most fabulous day. Bye for now, everyone.